Check out Dobbs April deals before you make your next tire or service purchase, including super BOGO deals on oil changes, plus great deals on new sets of tires. Bumper to bumper, your dollars go further at Dobbs. Click on gotodobbs.com for April deals now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Yes, yes. Welcome in. It's Balloon Party 101 ESPN. My name is Tim McKernan. This program that is presented to you by Munganest. St. Louis Acura and Munganest, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan. That's Jackson Bennett Burkett on this program at 1045. Jeremy Rutherford joins us for the most important Blues regular season game since
the last one.
That actually, I think, is the right answer. Nice. Trick question. Sharp play. Big day for Ledoux, Horton, Watkins. And they got themselves a Jim Dandy on Saturday. Jordan Kyrou, friend of the show, with the hat trick. Brendan Saad with the game winner in overtime, and the Blues pick up 2 points against the Wild, while Minnesota gets a point, but the Blues have a 2-point lead on Minnesota, 4 back of their opponent tonight, right here on 101 ESPN, the Vegas Golden Knights pregame at 6 p.m. Jackson, are you going to be watching?
There's nothing else to watch right now, so.
Caitlin Clark.
That's right. I can go back and forth. Yeah, I'll watch both.
All right, there it is. Jackson's announced that this game's big enough for him to watch, along with Iowa women's basketball.
Yeah, so I watched the game Saturday. Well, it was on at the sports bar where I was watching basketball.
Oh, somebody was having a little daytime nectar.
It was Saturday. It was a great
cocktail
day.
Cocktail lounge? Because I think people would like to know where you hang out.
This was at Lester's in Ladue.
Of course it was. You don't go more than 2 miles away from St. Louis.
That's not true. Coming up in this Little Piddles weekend wrap-up, you'll find out exactly where I was Friday night.
Oh, my goodness. So many things to find out.
A little tease right there.
Wow. The weekend wrap-up is coming up along with Jeremy Rutherford at 10:45. Can't wait for tonight's Blues game. You win it, you're in it. You lose it, you're out. Rarely can you say that. It's like the Blues are playing their own form of a tournament.
And they're doing this.
And they're doing the thing.
Drew
Bannister
is like doing this with his hands.
I mean, Vegas has the Blues tonight, and then they have to travel for a back-to-back in Nashville tomorrow. They will be put to the test this week. They got Minnesota. Meanwhile, the Blues beat Vegas, and then it's Calgary, San Jose to finish off the week. Like your chances there. You like your chances there. So get it tonight. And they've been playing some great hockey over the last couple of weeks. Even the one loss was an impressive performance against a very good team that still hasn't lost since then. They've now won 9 in a row, the Colorado Avalanche. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to step to the side, yield my time to the gentleman from Ledoux. His name is Jackson Burkett. You call him Piddles. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the weekend wrap-up.
Yeah, let's start off with the Blues. That's the lead story. The St. Louis Blues, they play ice hockey, Tim, and recently they have played said winter sport quite well. Nice. With a win in overtime in the Twin Cities against the Wild, have the Blues played what you would call inspired hockey as of late? How important is the game tonight against VGK? And you kind of answered it in the first part, but...
Boy, just such terrible delivery. And I hope that doesn't come off wrong.
No, I think it comes... Yeah, that was endearing.
I don't know what to make of this. This is a... I mean, for real, we're doing the program 2 weeks ago.
That's right.
They had just lost to the Rangers 4-0 at Madison Square Garden, and I think they had lost to the Islanders and the Devils.
Rough stretch of the tri-state area.
Right. And I'm going, okay, it's over.
Yeah.
The trade deadline came and went during that stretch as well, and I'm going, okay, this sucks because there's really nothing to look forward to until the offseason. You know, I guess I'll get ready for Lance Lynn in the home opener.
I sure am.
Exactly. And then... they go and they beat Boston in Boston 5-1 out of nowhere, come home and beat the Kings, most likely a playoff team, beat the Wild in a game in which they blew a 2-goal lead, but still were able to pick up the 2 points with the overtime win, play a great game, or they beat the Ducks after playing a really subpar first half of that game, play a much better game, but lose to Colorado. And here you go. Then you go, okay, let's see what they're going to, how are they going to answer that? Minnesota, kind of another do or die spot. And they put up five goals. And Jordan Kyrou, oh, and Ottawa, I forget, left on Ottawa. Jordan Kyrou, back-to-back good games. And how different is this team offensively when he's, you know, playing, which sounds so terrible. But yeah, if he's active, it's another level. And Jordan Binnington, again, yeah, he gave up some goals. I don't know how many of those he would have stopped, but at the same time, you're going up against a legend in Marc-Andre Fleury, and I just don't think Binnington would have given up the goal that Kyrou got from the blue line. He's playing that well, and Fleury, that's why Fleury went Eddie Belfour there at the end.
And chopping lumber.
Chopping lumber on the goalpost after the overtime winner from Saad. This has been a run that if it finishes with a playoff appearance, considering where the team was specifically the first game after the trade deadline that really was the lack of activity and disappointing, I think, for a lot of Blues fans. And they lost 4-0 at Madison Square Garden with a game in Boston to wrap up the road trip. And to get in the playoffs from that, which would still require, you know, them to play, I don't know, I guess probably 750 winning percentage, because it's not like the teams around them are losing. They'll get heads up with one of them tonight. That would be, it wouldn't be as statistically phenomenal as the Cardinals 2021, but it would be shocking for them to pick themselves up and put that kind of a run together. And man, how valuable would it be? But even if they don't make the playoffs, they're playing games into late March, possibly April, that matter. And that was not the case last year. And on top of it, they're playing pretty damn good hockey, too. Super excited about tonight and to see what kind of performance for two teams that absolutely have to win, how this goes. This is a playoff game.
Yeah, I think kind of in this state of St. Louis sports we're at, where the Cardinals are in kind of a weird spot and the Blues are obviously in a weird spot.
Now, what do you mean by the Cardinals in a weird spot? Because they haven't played a game yet.
We're coming off the season that they had, the offseason that went down.
They're picked to win the Central.
Yeah, as I've seen other places where they're picked fourth. You know, it's a
Jim Bowden.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, the AL Central is anybody but the Pirates, really. But kind of these weird times where they're not the top of the standings, whereas the
city's undefeated.
Yeah, lots of draws, but I like to see it no matter what. I think that you're still...
Alex, open up the season.
Boy, and are we all excited.
Missouri softball.
Shout out to...
And a Sweet
Tigers.
16 Illinois team that you refuse to acknowledge because you hate the 618.
More tournament talk coming up in the next segment, sure. So we'll be talking ILL, no doubt in that. But even if you're like a Blues fan looking forward to the future, to see the, what I call, inspired hockey...
Oh my gosh.
...as of late, has to give you a little sense of hope for the future that... When it comes time to, tonight is obviously the biggest test of them all, but when it comes down to a situation where it's like playoff hockey, this team has showed that they are resilient.
They're playing good hockey.
Yeah, right.
Across the board. I mean, there have been a couple of periods here over the last couple of weeks, but that's it. And if anything, they picked the right time to have them because one was against the Ducks and one was against the Senators. And if there's teams that you can afford to do it against, it'd be those teams. But yeah, I mean, this has been really impressive, and I cannot wait to see how they play tonight. You win this thing, you're 2 points back of Vegas, and then Vegas will catch up as far as that game in hand tomorrow when they take on Nashville, which will be a test. I'm giving you value on Nashville for the chalice, Jackson, if you want it. That's value.
I like value.
But they'll have a tough first-round matchup themselves. But either way, I'm thrilled to see it because 2 weeks ago I would have never thought that this would be the case. And what if Jordan Kyrou comes at it again?
Isn't that like
three straight games?
You know, we talk about like the trade deadline. If Kyrou can play to even 80% of what his potential is, or certainly what his contract would tell you he could play at.
Oh, it's a world changer.
I mean, that is like that. That's the future right there. If you can have Thomas and Kyrou both humming.
Well, that was the logic of the deal. But, you know, it's two games and the team has played 70 and he has played like, you know, I mean, that's the issue. It's usually one out of about every five games. But in the case of the Ottawa game and then the hat trick on Saturday, it's back-to-back games. Can he go back-to-back-to-back when the team needs him most? We'll find out. And you're going to find out right here on 101 ESPN pregame at 6 p.m. Blues and Vegas Golden Knights. It's essentially playoff hockey on March 25th. We'll close out our first segment. Don't forget Jeremy Rutherford with us at 10:45. We'll get his perspective. And what do we get? Why don't you tease the audience? What do you got coming up here on this Little Piddles weekend wrap up in segment two?
Tournament talk. We're going to be talking about the college basketball tournament coming up in this next segment. And we got some Cardinals discussion right after that.
All right.
And I have a scene to set for you.
Okay. That sounds good. Here we go. We're only a few days away from the Cardinals opening up in Los Angeles. We'll talk it over with the Little Piddles weekend wrap-up on Balloon Party. 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party. And my name is Tim McKernan. And that's Jackson Burkett. And we won it today.
Jeremy Rutherford with us at 10:45. Text in. Air Comfort Service text line 314-399-9646. Participate in the YouTube chat. But there is some concern in the Balloon Party YouTube chat. It's the 101 ESPN channel. 104 people in there talking it over. Tiny PP is nowhere to be found.
Oh, no.
So it looks like Droid Effects is taken over. I can tell, is it John Schanzi? Schnoznel?
We'll go Schnoznel.
He says, oh no, PP missing.
Anyway, me, like an APB.
And John Scores is concerned, and Bishan about sports says, I know, still crazy to me. You can get in there and talk about it, and do you know where Don PP is? YouTube chat, 101 ESPN channel, Balloon Party. We're now 118 people have just gotten in there to talk it over. Unbelievable what's going on. They're not happy with us in the Air Comfort Service text inbox. You two have just hexed the Blues by saying they're playing good. The Sports Illustrated curse is on Balloon Party. It's from the 314. But here's the thing. About a month and a half ago, I said I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. So which one is it?
Well, not to mention, you know, we're not just a couple like buddies hanging around a sports bar. Like, we have to kind of talk about the team, and if they're playing well, we're going to say they're playing well. We're not jinxing them. It's not like an announcer saying this guy's 92% from the free throw line.
I disagree. I think I am omnipotent. All powerful. I can.
Yeah, right.
And so I kind of think I can move things.
Your energy can shift whether the Blues play well or not.
That's right.
I mean, since I gave the breakdown on them and their power play.
Since the whiteboard came out.
Since the whiteboard came out, I don't want to say it, I've been playing some inspired hockey.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the 2002 Red Wings when they're on the power play now. And yeah. That, I think, Steve Ott was listening.
Listen.
And said, hey, I was listening to 101 this morning, and Drew Bannister probably said, oh, Jamie Rivers was doing a hit with Randy, Dan, Brooke, and Rocchio. No, that 1 hour thing.
Yeah, there it is.
And he goes, oh, no, I'm not familiar with it. He goes, they let two guys from HD2 Radio come in for an hour.
Yeah.
And
clear their throats until the real people are ready to come in.
And the kid who doesn't watch hockey drew up some power play plays on the whiteboard. Let's see if we can run those. And I believe that is what turned this season around.
In 2019, they had the moment in Philadelphia where
they
were singing Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
Their moment this year, if they are to...
Is that whiteboard sitting right here?
Is that whiteboard?
That'll be on a parade down market on June 18th.
I mean, if I don't get a ring...
I agree with that. On
the arm, too. I don't want to have to, like, pay for it.
No, I think that's understood.
Yeah, right. Hey, I'm one of the players, despite not watching a game in months. Oh, I guess I watched the game Saturday. My eyeballs were on the game as it was happening live.
Yeah, you, like, deep teased. You wanted everybody to know where you were on Friday.
Oh, that's coming up in segment three.
Oh, wow.
Well,
I had no idea this thing was mapped out.
Well, not that mapped. I mean, if you want to do it now, we can do it now. But that means we'll have to delay the tournament talk. And I know you want to talk about the tournament.
I do want to talk about the tournament.
Yeah.
So we'll do it now. I don't care. I want to know. I want instant gratification.
All right. Let's set the scene,
Jackson's
Tim.
Jackson's going to let us know where he was on Friday. Was it at Log Cabin? Was it at Bogey Club? Was it at St. Louis? Was he at Augusta? Was he at Pine Valley? Where was he?
It's on the south side, Tim. Let me set the scene for Friday night.
You're not allowed in my neighborhood.
Cold beer was flowing on the south side. Bomber O'Brien's. We had tournament action.
Oh, give me some Eddie McVay.
Oh, yeah. Give me those chicken wings. Hot mustard sauce, please.
Is that right? Okay.
Oh, yeah, delicious. Tournament action. Was tossing some darts with some of my friends. There was
Herb, Oatmeal, Private Citizen Pete.
Private Citizen Pete was there.
Gareth.
Tossing darts. Private Citizen Pete was on the opposing team. I was with Dan with the great hairline. It's like a teen wall. It goes down to his eyebrows.
Right, really?
Unbelievable hairline. Shout out to Dan.
Got that Tom Brady thing going.
And then also a member of the Balloon Party Mafia, a lovely listener. Loves the show. Mid-20s.
Yeah, we have a lot of mid-20s females, Wash U students, in from Manhattan who listen to this show.
Well, this is a guy.
Huh?
And he had had a few, but he's a great guy.
Okay.
We'll just call him a member of the Balloon Party Mafia. We're playing cutthroat cricket. And there was a question that came up from said Balloon Party listener asking what I thought about what the opening day lineup for the Cardinals is going to look like. I then voiced my frustration about Victor Scott not making the team. And he was adamant, as was Dan with the great hairline, that Dylan Carlson deserves this one last shot. He's had a great spring. And that let Victor Scott face some AAA ball before he sees Major League ball. I wanted to see what your opinion on that was.
I agree with the guy with the great hairline. And maybe that's because I'm jealous of his hairline.
Yeah,
maybe need to psychoanalyze that. I want Victor Scott on the team, but anytime we talk about Victor Scott, I would acknowledge that I may be biased because I grew up on stolen bases in the 1980s with the Cardinals, Whitey ball. But, you know, he hasn't played a AAA. Carlson's here. You didn't trade him. He has had a good spring. Give him a shot. Try not to attack his effort within the first week in a post-game press conference when you're frustrated and see what you can get. Because it wasn't that long ago that he was the prize prospect of this organization, which sounds kind of crazy now, but that was the case. I mean, he was the guy 4 years ago. So I'm fine with it. I mean, I wanted it, but I mean, I also kind of, when John Mozeliak speaks and does these interviews with Katie Wu, you kind of know where things are going. Like, you knew Sonny Gray was going to the IL.
Yeah.
Didn't say it, but you knew it. And you knew Victor Scott wasn't going to make the team. Didn't say it, but you knew it. So I was already in my mind. I was like, yeah, I figure that's the case. So Fine, Carlson, give it a run. I'm more intrigued. Four games against the Dodgers starting on Thursday. Most likely you're going to get all four in. Not usually a lot of rain in the Southern California area. I'll set the over-under for Dodgers runs at 29.5.
I'll go under.
Look at this guy.
I'll go under. The number when you said over
Rocky
under.
Rocky rights holder.
I thought it was like 26.5.
So you feel like you got value?
I feel just a little bit. Just a little bit. So, yeah, I think, based on what they did in South Korea, it'd be tough to say under. However, I don't know. Maybe I'm higher on the Cardinals' defense. You know, maybe I think that they can really, especially in the infield, you know, outfield is certainly a concern defensively. But regardless, I think under. But I have been kind of...
Rocky the rights holder.
Yeah, I've been really optimistic. I kind of am every season before baseball starts. I kind of like to live like that, like optimistic until
well,
I don't have
thing.
To be.
I mean, I would love to like, there's some spots where I wouldn't mind betting against. Like I said, I hate it. And I was talking about it with a friend of mine on Friday. And I said, I've said this on the air, so I'll say it here in private company. I don't want it to be the case, but Missouri's win total at 9.5. Like, it's kind of under all day.
Yeah. We haven't seen them with expectations in a long time.
But that doesn't mean that I'm like, I think it's a lock. I'm just like looking at the schedule. Same way I got to the over this past year. So, but even though I love the under, I'm not going to bet it because I don't want to be cheering against the team that I emotionally pull for. And I don't want to bet against the Cardinals because I don't want to be cheering against the team I emotionally pull for. So it's a lot more fun when I'm like on the over on Missouri or on over on the Cardinals. But I cannot in good faith bet the over on the Cardinals. I can't bet it. I can't actually put money behind it.
Yeah.
I could see it happening. I really could. But if you said the over was 95, I might have an obligation to my family.
Yeah. Oh, I have with it. Wholeheartedly agree. Now, here's something I want to ask you. It's kind of freestyled.
No.
You call that essentially like if you were to bet the Mizzou under, an emotional risk management bet.
That's what my friend said. He goes, well, then you got a risk management play. I go, yeah. But it's a season-long thing. That's the difference.
That's tough.
So when I would do it, one of the more, the ones that I remember was game five when Michael Wacha came out of retirement and he hadn't pitched in 7 years and then he got to pitch the ninth inning against Travis Ishikawa.
Went well, too.
It's a matter of opinion. It depends on your side. But I was live betting the Giants during the game for emotional risk management. That's in an hour to 90-minute period. I don't want to be like... the college football season is coming up and I'm sitting there cheering for Boston College because I've got some ridiculous amount of money on the Missouri under. You know, it takes a whole year. So that's every Saturday I'm pulling against Missouri.
You don't want that.
I don't want that. I become an Illinois fan.
So that's the thing is, like, when you make an emotional risk management bet, ideally you're still rooting for your team, but if they lose, you have some money. I've done it, and I end up every single time rooting for my money as opposed to rooting for my team.
I try to price the value of the win.
Right.
So, yeah, you can look at it, well, no matter what you lose, or you can look at it no matter what you win.
Yeah,
because in both cases, you're going to get that.
Yep.
One way or the other. There is no choice on it, but I will not bet a season-long emotional risk management play.
No. Yeah,
a
regular
game
season game.
Things on the line. Like, I mean, think about it. How much money was it? And this is to the individual. This is a rhetorical question. If you were to emotionally risk manage bet the Blues game 7, 2019.
Mm. Yeah, that's a...
Like, what dollar figure was it worth? Now, to you, you didn't even know they were playing. But for the person...
Patrick Waugh was there, though, right?
You knew that Patrick Waugh was in net.
I'm a Waugh guy.
And think about that. And I didn't even think about, in hindsight, I'm kind of surprised I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But holy crap. Like, I'm sure for some people it was, you know, it doesn't matter. Five figures.
Yeah, whatever a unit is, exit by how much
right.
It would really affect you one
way
or the other.
The Blues lost the game 7 of the Stanley Cup final, but at least I got $10,000 coming to me, you know?
Yeah, right. That's the idea. But then, like, if you really maybe get over-leveraged yourself on the emotional risk management, you can sometimes
The Blues won the Stanley Cup, and holy crap, I got to now pay this guy in my neighborhood $10,000.
Right. It's like, now you're really going to find out how much each victory means to you. Right. Now, like a regular season Major League Baseball game, I have no qualms on betting on unders or against the Cardinals because it's one of 162. But especially like with Mizzou football where you only have 12 games.
Right, and I don't want to be cheering against them throughout the season, you know?
Oh, by the way, I have friends in Boston and my plan was to go up to the game, the UMass game.
Sure.
To, you know, loud and proud MIZ. You know, Amherst is 2 hours away from Boston.
It's far west.
Yeah. So
Western
I was like,
Massachusetts.
Well, never mind.
Wow, that's a great scheduling. Jackson, 10:29. I guess I'll stay on track. We'll talk tournament on the other side of the break. That Danny Hurley is not happy about a lot of things.
He's ornery.
Some of that sound. Bill Self, for real, like, it's I'm so not weird. Anti-Cans. I feel like I say this regularly, which is odd. Is it a he doth throw? I just really don't, I don't have an animosity toward schools. I'm just not there. I don't know why, whatever, even though I'm a Missouri guy. But if I were a Kansas fan, I would have been irritated by this. And I know others were surprised by it, so we'll have that for you. Then Jeremy Rutherford at 10:45 as the Blues get ready for the biggest game of the regular season to date. Blues, Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Pregame here on 101 ESPN, 6 p.m. This is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN and the 101 ESPN YouTube channel.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party 101 ESPN. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you. Jeremy Rutherford joining us in about 10 minutes here on the program. Jackson, let's talk tournament. Illinois, take it on Iowa State at 9:10 tip off on Thursday night as they go up against the Cyclones. And then the winner of that gets Danny Hurley and San Diego State's winner.
Yeah, and he's really excited about the draw he's gotten, Danny Hurley. And
he's not happy about a wide variety of things. And I'm kind of telling you that I'm now finding him to be incredibly amusing because there's just it's a stream of things that you didn't even realize were slights or becoming slights. What do we have here?
So
this is not happy about the tip-off time on Thursday?
Not happy about the tip-off time or, honestly, the grouping he's in in terms of the tournament. This is Dan Hurley, coach of UConn.
If you know this yet or not, but you do have the early tip on Thursday in Boston.
Okay, so
It gives me a little bit more us against the world stuff that I could utilize, because, you know, I do think that the committee has tried to make this as difficult as they can on us to do it. The Florida Atlantic, Northwestern, 8-9, obviously, the Auburn, San Diego State, and Illinois, and what they look like with Iowa State. We know what they we know what they had in mind, and it just it's more fuel on the fire.
So he is not happy with the start time. They are the early game in Boston.
Yeah.
If you are going to Boston, you will be watching, as an Illinois fan, you'll be watching the Illini tip off against Iowa State at 10:10 Eastern.
Yeah, not ideal. Certainly not ideal for your East Coast fans, or honestly, Central Time Zone 9:10 tip in St. Louis is not ideal either. However, I really like how Illinois is playing
basketball. You think Illinois might win this tournament? I mean, right now, the two teams playing perhaps the best basketball, maybe you would look at Purdue and the wide delta that is the Zach Edey situation. But as far as taking that team out of the equation, are the two teams playing the best basketball right now going to meet on Saturday in Boston? UConn and Illinois.
I really hope so, because that would be an awesome game. But that would honestly... like, my worst nightmare for Illinois is kind of playing a team like UConn that's so dominant inside. UConn's also just top tier left and right, but Illinois is playing outstanding basketball. Iowa State's no joke either. They've been on the hot run.
Defense versus offense, Jackie Papers.
Yeah, you better believe it. But when you got someone like Terrence Shannon who's playing the game like he is right now, you have a chance against any single team in this tournament. Obviously so, because they're in the position they're in. So rooting hard for the Illini. Really am. I think I really hope that they beat the Cyclones and we get a great matchup. And if Danny Hurley's upset now, and if he loses to ILL, there's going to be hell to pay in Boston.
So I think the reason why UConn is getting the non-primetime slot is they're playing San Diego State, even though San Diego State was a Final Four team last year.
Rematch of the championship.
I think it's just something that the network goes, I think Illinois-Iowa State's probably going to be a little more glamorous, but he takes offense. He's like, we're the defending national champions. They're not going to put us in the primetime slot.
Yeah. Him complaining about that's one thing, but complaining about like the group he's in, like that they have to play, like he's like, we might have had to play Auburn. It's like, well, if you're going to make it to the Sweet 16, you're going to play the best teams.
Yeah. This Kirby Smart talked about when they won the national championship, how everybody been counting them out and they've been number one all year. It's just this is the thing to do.
It's one thing to do in the locker room, to get your players fired up. I totally understand that. But being in the media, like, people are not going to react real kindly when you're complaining about groupings when, Purdue's got to go play Gonzaga. Like, that's no joke. Or I don't know who plays Gonzaga. Houston? Either way, it's
my Purdue team.
The Gonzaga plays Purdue.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, Gonzaga's playing. They smoked Kansas, smoked them in the second half. Like, do you think, Matt Painter is really excited to take on Gonzaga? I guess unless you're Marquette taking on NC State, but they're playing great ball too.
Bill Self had this to say following the loss to Gonzaga. He had moved on to next season.
You already feel like I got to start thinking about you. Next season, got to absorb this for a little while.
Well, I think for the last month, I've been thinking about next season, to be honest. Not in the moments during the game, but, obviously we played, we had eight guys on scholarship and we play, that were healthy there late, and, injuries are part of the game, so that's not an excuse, but we could have done a much better job as a staff, putting more guys out there that we could play. And so that's something that I've thought about for a long time.
Bill Self, he had moved on to next year with a month remaining in the season. Jackson, what else do we have here on this Little Piddles weekend wrap-up?
I just wanted to keep talking tournament.
Sorry.
The weekend wrap up sometimes are a lot more open ended and less pointed than sometimes during the week.
Second. What is the fourth question? This is what happens when you can own souls.
The fourth question, Tim, under the realm of realistic expectations, how would the 2024 Cardinals starting rotation overachieve in your estimation? Not just the obvious of having a low ERA
a good question.
And a lot of wins.
This is a good question.
But like, under realistic expectation? Is it like a certain amount of quality starts?
Miles Michaelis goes back to, well, Sonny Gray has a similar year to his year last year in Minnesota, and not the previous year in Minnesota, previous 2 years in Minnesota, where he had a bunch of innings in addition to success. So the hamstring thing is gone. Mm-hmm. Whenever he takes his first start and never comes back. Miles Michaelis is more the guy that he was in his first year in St. Louis than last year in St. Louis. I guess Lance Lynn is more the guy that he was in the first half last year than his time with the Dodgers. Steven Matz is the guy that he was for like 3 weeks in St. Louis before shutting it down. And Kyle Gibson, you know, he was fine, I guess, with Baltimore last year. So if you have that, I mean, to me, those are like 100-to-1 kind of plays for all of those things to hit.
Right, right.
But yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, the way I look at it with the Cardinals, I'm just like, they've got to slug teams. That's how I view it.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm off the mark on that. It'd be wonderful if I was.
I think that's kind of the goal, because you kind of got these guys like Lynn and Gibson to eat innings and get quality starts. The winning percentage last year for the Cardinals with quality starts was pretty good, actually quite good, especially relative to what they did without the quality starts. So if you can get these guys who go six innings, yeah, give up four runs, okay, but it saves the bullpen a little bit, and if the offense does what the offense can do, they're going to be in a pretty good spot to win the Central. So I think you, like when we say innings eaters, they get kind of boring after a while, but truly, like, eat innings and get quality starts, and I think you're going to see a massive improvement.
Paul Goldschmidt article in the Post-Dispatch this morning, he hit 116 so far this spring, two games left in Arizona as they play the Cubs before heading over to Los Angeles. 43 at bats, 19 strikeouts, and hit 116. And he refused to use the excuse of, hey, you're working on stuff in spring. He wasn't happy with it, but he acknowledges he's had some streaky performances throughout his career. That's the way that it's worked, including years in which he's had great numbers. He's had bad streaks. So is this the beginning of the decline from 2023 carrying over into spring 2024? Or is it just one of those slumps? That cannot happen when things get underway Thursday in Los Angeles. And Jeremy Rutherford will join us on the other side of the break. I want to make sure he gives much time because the Blues are playing a huge game tonight at home against the Vegas Golden Knights. He will talk it over with us. It's pregame 6 p.m. on 101 ESPN. JR joining us next here on Balloon Party, driven by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN. News, notes, and nuggets. It's time for the Rutherford Report with our Blues insider, Jeremy Rutherford. Brought to you by Scott Lee Heating Company, a proud Mitsubishi Electric Elite contractor.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party, and my name is Tim McKernan. And that is Jackson Burkett. And when Jackson says he is going to watch part of a Blues game while also watching part of an Iowa women's basketball game, you know it's a big Blues game. And to talk about that is Jeremy Rutherford joining us right now. Morning, JR.
Morning, morning. Jackson is fired up. I was so proud of him when I heard you ask earlier, this is the Blues' biggest regular season game since when? And I said, come on, Jackson, you got it, you got it. And he said, the last one.
Boom. This guy's locked in right now. It's fun to watch somebody perform like this.
Yeah. Well, the most important game is always the next one on your schedule. That's what I've always said.
That's good. That's good. Good code. JR, this is a huge one. You win it, you're 2 points back, and then the Golden Knights have to head right to Nashville to play a back-to-back. And then the Blues get, you know, what should be a couple of favorable opportunities with the Flames and the Sharks before the Oilers come to town for this homestand. Of course, you don't know how things will play out, but you do know you can control what you can control, and that's how you play tonight against a team that also is fighting toward the finish to try to get into the playoffs, the defending cup champion Vegas Golden Knights. What do you think about this one tonight as far as a regular season playoff atmosphere at Enterprise Center?
It's going to be great. Yeah, and I'm glad you used the term should be when you're describing those upcoming games for the Blues after tonight's game against Vegas, because if you can get through this one, the schedule does lighten up a little bit, but you know, it's tough to use that term this time of season when you need all these points. If Vegas comes in tonight, and Tim, this is going to be 7 out of 8 on the road for Vegas. They've got tonight, and then they play back-to-back. They're at Nashville, and it looks like they're going to be without Alex Pietrangelo unless some miracle. He's been out sick, and he has not been skating with the team. So don't expect him tonight, but we'll see. But the Blues come into this one riding really high. You look at the last seven games, 6-1, coming off that loss at the New York Rangers. They've been really good, and they're coming up clutch. They get the OT win in Minnesota, and they're going to make some lineup changes for tonight's game. It looks like Sammy Blais, based on practice this morning, is going to be in the lineup, and Zach Bolduc coming out. Looks like Toropchenko will go up to the third line. Blais will insert in that fourth line. Sammy Blais has not played since that Ranger game, so quite a while since he's been in there, but that's the one change it looks like they'll have.
Specific to that Rangers game, because if they do get in the playoffs, you know, you were listening, obviously. You made reference to something we were talking about earlier on, but you know, statistically, the fact that the Cardinals rattled off the winning streak that they did in 2021 to get in the playoffs, that's an outlier. That's record setting. That's not what this would be. But I think emotionally, when for Blues fans who knew what was going on at that time, what they lost to the Islanders, the Devils, then the 4-0 loss to the Rangers, and the trade deadline had come and gone all in that time, and then you're going against on the road one of the best teams in the league. It looked like it was over, and I would imagine a lot of people felt that way. I know I did, and I'm thrilled that I was wrong. I mean, even if they don't get in, they've still turned it around, beating Boston, and then the run they've gone on since, including a good game as far as performance-wise against Colorado last week, just coming up short. So with that all said, if you want to go back to what we saw on that trip through the tri-state area that did not go particularly well, and what transpired between Saturday night at Madison Square Garden and then the way things turned around, what have we seen that you could give 2, 3, 4 reasons why the Blues have picked it up from looking like they were dead and in a position here tonight to close to within two points of a playoff spot?
Yeah, Tim, I think first and foremost, number one, it's the goaltending. You just can't count this team out with the goaltending playing as well as it has. And that's not just Jordan Binnington. We know what Joel Holfer has been up to here recently, and he's played well too. So the other thing is, I think that you got through that trade deadline, and let's think about a couple things that Doug Armstrong said after the trade deadline passed. He said that, hey, I didn't get any calls on my guys. Like, nobody wanted them. And if you're a player in the locker room, you still got a chance to, you know, show yourself down the stretch and make the playoffs. You know, I'd take that pretty personal, and I think that some of these guys did. But I also think that they realized that it was still within reach. They knew that if they could keep the momentum going from that win over Boston, and that one, you're right, absolutely came out of nowhere, and they just kept building off that one. And you know, there have been some hiccups along the way here, and you gave a couple points to Minnesota, but this time of year it's just coming out with that win, and that's what the Blues have done here recently. But I think you go to the goaltending point there first in terms of how they've been able to come off of that Ranger loss and reel off 6-1.
Jeremy Rutherford with us live here on 101 ESPN, talking Blues and Vegas Golden Knights going on tonight at Enterprise Center. Pregame, 6 p.m. I mean, the biggest lightning rod for this team is Jordan Kyrou, but his performance on Saturday, his performance on Thursday in Ottawa shows what this team can be when Kyrou is, for lack of a better term, this is what I used in the first segment as well, playing, which sounds incredibly basic, but when he is playing, it adds another dimension for the Blues. And you saw an example of that on Saturday, and you also saw it with a goal and two assists on Thursday against the Senators. What has gone on with Kyrou in those past couple of games? And man, would it be nice to see it carry over to tonight.
Yeah, and we did a piece the other day at The Athletic where we had to name one player from each team that really had a lot to prove down the stretch. And I know we've been saying it for a long time that Jordan Kyrou has to be that guy for the Blues, but he really is proving it. I think things got, you know, turned around in that Ottawa game a little bit, and then, of course, he had the hat trick against Minnesota. Tim, I went back and watched that replay of his first goal on the hat trick against Minnesota, and just the way he's working. And I think when you see Jordan Kyrou engaged, playing like that, working to retrieve the puck, like, I had to rewind it. I'm not trying to be overly critical here. Like, I had to rewind it a couple of times just to watch it again and see that, you know, how many times have we seen Jordan Kyrou just hound the puck and work to get the puck back and then go to the front of the net,
right,
for that first goal. That was amazing. And then the shooter's mentality. You know, the other two goals that he scored, he's putting it, not only putting it on net, but putting it on net with authority. So, you know, teammates talked about it. Guys talked about it in locker room afterwards. This is a guy who who can play better. He knows he can play better, and he can be a complete difference maker down the stretch if he continues to play like that.
As far as the Blues head coaching spot, no matter what, the head coach has to get credit for what's taken place over the last 2 weeks, at least in my opinion. He does. Maybe others would disagree. Maybe they've already made up their mind at Enterprise Center what direction they're going to go. I don't know. I mean, I was a couple weeks ago going, okay, I guess it isn't going to be Drew Bannister's. And then now you go, okay. I mean, this team was on death's doorstep, having to play some really good opposition, too. I mean, this, I mean, certainly there have been some teams that are out of it in this run, like the Senators and like the Ducks. But, I mean, two against the Wild, one against the Kings, one in Boston, and then one against the Avalanche. This has been pretty impressive to see a team respond like they did from that skid in New York and play the way they have down the stretch, giving these young guys an opportunity to play what is the equivalent of playoff hockey into late March, when it looked like 2 weeks ago they wouldn't be doing that. Do you think that that has potentially changed the math for the Blues on how they view Bannister?
I think that would come down to who's available, you know, who has Doug Armstrong spoken with behind the scenes, who might be interested in the job. But, Tim, I feel like I'm on the verge, and a lot's going to ride on this game tonight. You know, if they win this game, it could be a situation where all the games down the stretch are going to be meaningful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they can come off the win with Vegas, if that happens, you know, I could see them making it really interesting down the stretch. And, you know, honesty in media, you drive around thinking of story ideas and what kind of stance you want to take on some things. And I've thought about, you know, writing a story. You know, Drew Bannister has shown everything he can show. And if you're in a retool and you're still going to bring in some young kids, like, what more would you want than a guy like Drew Bannister, who's worked with a lot of these players and has a track record of being able to help these young guys along? So you got the Snuggeroots potentially coming in. We'll find out more after Minnesota plays this weekend. You know, Dvorsky a year or two away. You know, I think that Drew Bannister could be the guy for this, and I've said that if he can have the attention of the veterans, and it looks like during the stretch we've seen the veterans respond to him. So I know you kind of waver back and forth on would he be the right guy for the job, but you have to give him a ton of credit. If you're going to criticize the roster, he's taken what we all see as an undermanned roster and done very well with it, and could potentially get him in the playoffs.
Blues in Vegas, Golden Knights tonight, pregame here on 101 ESPN, 6 p.m. And you win it, you're 2 points back, with Vegas heading to Nashville tomorrow. And on the other side of it, you know, JR, you're 6 points back, and it would be really difficult to overcome that, in addition to a couple of other teams, because Vegas gets to play Minnesota twice. So the teams around you, somebody's going to be picking up points when they get together. So, I mean, this is a playoff game tonight for the Blues, and I would imagine they're viewing it as such.
This is, yeah, and we're going to get down to the locker room here in just a minute and talk to them about that. But, yeah, you can see it on the ice this morning. I think they realize what's at stake here and know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, if you lose this one, super tough with just the 10 games to go and the schedule as it breaks down. But, you know, Vegas does have a tough schedule. As we mentioned, 7 of the next 8 on the road, and Vancouver twice. They've got tough competition. We'll see what happens tonight and then see what the rest of the week looks like for the Blues.
There it is, JR. He is with us throughout the week here on 101 ESPN every Wednesday at 9 a.m. on TMA. JR, appreciate it. Looking forward to the coverage of this one tonight.
Yep, thanks, buddy.
There he is. That's Jeremy Rutherford with us, and it's time for us to shut it down. BK and Ferrario are up next for Jackson Burkett. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been Balloon Party, driven by Munganess St. Louis Acura and Munganess Burkhardt Alton Toyota on 101 ESPN and the 101 ESPN YouTube channel.
You've been listening to The Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.